This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company. For more information and links to all our great podcasts, visit hartmanmedia.com.
Welcome to the AIPIS show for accredited income property investment specialists and those who aspire to be. If you're a real estate, mortgage, or financial professional, this is the place for you. We'll explore innovative investment analysis, sales, marketing, and income-generating strategies for the most historically proven wealth creator, income property. Learn from the experts as they show you how to build a better business and a better life.
It's my pleasure to welcome Ryken Kuhl to the show. He is CEO and founder at LeaseLock. He's an attorney, season 4 winner of The Amazing Race, former U.S. Air Force officer, spokesman for Service Members Legal Defense Network, and author of the best-selling book, Here's What We'll Say, Growing Up, Coming Out, and the U.S. Air Force Academy. Ryken, welcome. How are you?
Hey, thank you. Thanks for having me on the show. I'm great.
It's good to have you on. So, you know, I love talking about these innovative products or services, I guess, in this case, for landlords, especially for landlords that are self-managing. You know, if they just want to have some more security, and your service is interesting. I found it quite a while ago, actually, and wanted to get you on the show to talk about this. So LeaseLock is basically an insurance policy that ensures tenant performance, that the tenant will pay the rent. Wouldn't we all love that as landlords, right? But it does cost a little bit of money. It's paid for by the tenant. Now, think about this. You know, at first I thought when you were explaining that to me, I thought, well, you know, why is the tenant going to be willing to pay for this? But if you think about it, when someone gets a mortgage, and they need to have either MMI mortgage insurance on like an FHA loan or PMI mortgage insurance on a conventional loan, they pay for the mortgage insurance. The borrower pays the mortgage insurance. With title insurance, at least in most cases, I believe, the lender's policy is paid for by the borrower. So here, the tenant is paying for the landlord's insurance benefit, right?
Correct. Yeah. And in those cases, you know, like for PMI insurance, the reason that those people pay is a lot of times because it's mandatory. And a lot of our landlords that we're working with now at LeaseLock and a lot of our property management companies are making the LeaseLock option mandatory. The landlords have decided that, you know, along with us, that the old way of, you know, adding extra security deposits, so you just have a big, you know, pile of money sitting there that might protect you for a month or two, or asking for a resident to go get a cosigner isn't the answer. And the real answer is make the resident go get insurance on the lease so that if there is a default, the landlord is always indemnified. And then only in that case will they rent to that renter who is presenting risk.
Okay, so you wouldn't do this with every applicant, right? You would only insist on it with a marginally qualified applicant. Like, what would you do? Like, say, if the FICO score is above or below a certain number, or the income, or how do you actually implement this without being accused of discrimination? That's what I would be concerned about.
Yeah, it's up to the landlord. So the landlord has they always have their standards set. So they say, you know, this group of people who meet these particular financial credentials are approved. This group of people who do not meet the financial credentials are denied. And this group of people, we would actually want them in only if they provided extra security to us in the form of a security deposit or a cosigner. That's the group that LeaseLock helps. So the landlord pushes that conditionally approved group over to LeaseLock, and then we take it from there. But that's in our traditional LeaseLock plans. We have a lot of student housing property management companies who now make LeaseLock mandatory for everyone. In other words, every bed that's filled in a student housing complex has to have a LeaseLock on it. They don't care if you meet the criteria or not. They want everyone to have it so that if anything goes wrong, they know that they're protected by the LeaseLock coverage.
Okay, sure. But you know, we both know that student housing is a bit of a unique animal. So, you know, because a lot of times the students want to rent the property and they have either no credit report, no credit score or very little credit because, you know, they're younger, obviously, right? Credit only started when you're 18. And maybe the parents won't co-sign, or maybe the parents, even if they do co-sign, they don't want to. I don't blame them. But, you know, even if they do co-sign, they might be marginal themselves in terms of being qualified. So take us through the mechanics of how it works. Do you, for example, do the tenant screening on your end? Like, do landlords that sign up with your service have the tenants, the prospective tenant, go to a portal on your website? And, do you order the credit report, or does the landlord do that completely separate from you using whatever service they want, or the property manager, as the case may be, and then come to you and say, hey, give me insurance or give my tenant insurance?
Yeah, I'm going to give you a lawyer answer, and the answer is it depends. So it depends on the landlord. So some of our landlords have decided that they just, you know, they want everybody on a lease lock, and they push everything over to lease lock to do, you know, any kind of screening that we want to do. But most landlords do their own initial screening, and then they accept the applicants who meet their screening criteria. But when they have their conditional applicants that they send to lease lock, we also go through kind of a super screening process. And so we take a lot more information from the renter because of the technology we have in order to look into bank statements, bank accounts, past rental history, and also employment and employment history and payment history from that employer. We're able to make a decision usually within 24 hours on that renter, just to tell the landlord, yes, we're going to go ahead and supply you an insurance certificate on this landlord. We don't just base things on credit score. We found that credit score is not a really great indication of who is a rent payer. LeaseLock cares about who is a rent payer, not who has perfect credit. So you could, you know, be late on your credit card bills and late on your car payments, and you know, even have had your car possessed. But if you're a rent payer, we're definitely going to issue the insurance certificate for that person. So that's where we're leaning toward is you know, looking to see that we're not going to, you know, lose on that risk. Whereas, you know, typical landlord screening systems right now are just looking at income and then credit score, when that's really not the best indicator of whether someone's going to pay rent.
You are so right about that. So let me just mention that. I've been researching and studying this a bit. Do you know, there are so many data points that determine whether someone will pay either their rent or their car payment, or because what we find in credit scoring is, and now, you know, the technology is getting so good. Algorithms are written to really do deep dives into sort of the psychology of every person, where they can determine, like, some people literally could be great rent payers, but they just say screw you to all their other debt collectors. You know? And interestingly, there have been studies about people who, for example, when they fill out a credit application online, if they do it in all caps versus upper lowercase, those people are literally, they have determined, less likely to pay on time. I mean, there's crazy stuff. I mean, this is getting really good. It's getting super interesting, you know, how
yeah,
they can.
We're able to screen, you know, the way people spend because of our access now to bank account and spending habits. We can actually see how people are spending. We do some crazy analyses in the office on our data. You know, we can link the likelihood that someone's going to pay rent to how much they spend on, let's say, eating out, you know, like, whereas someone who's eating out all the time at big expensive meals is going to be in a different group of rent payers than someone who spends a little amount of money on maybe a lot of meals. And it's interesting. We can run all kinds of analyses, and it's really part of our secret sauce to be able to determine, okay, we're going to look at all this, everything about this person, all their spending habits, their income, where they work, what part of the country they're in, male, female. We're allowed to look at all that stuff because we're allowed to look at insurance risk. And, you know, a lot of those things that are protected classes, those are still factors in determining risk. So it's interesting what we can do and how we can determine it.
Well, okay, so a couple interesting things that you said there. Of course, I'm curious, do the big meal spenders pay better or worse than the people that spend a little bit but have a lot of meals out? I'm really curious.
Worse.
The big meal people pay worse, right?
Yeah. People who tend to spend a lot and splurge a lot more are people who are not as, well, in my opinion, are people who are not as aware of how much they have on hand at any one time. And so whereas people who are just dipping in a little bit and constantly paying attention to how much they have, even though they're spending the exact same amount of money, they're just people who end up having the rent at the end of the month because they're monitoring it better.
Yeah, well, the splurger mentality is like, hey, live for today, you know, tomorrow be damned, right? Yeah, so that's the thing. And when the first of the month rolls around and the rent's due, you know, they don't have it. So,
yeah, sure. Exactly.
Yeah, you know, another interesting thing that you said is, though, you talk, you know, in fair housing laws, we all have to be very conscious of protected classes and not discriminating, of course, not just because it's the law, but just because it's not right. Okay, you know, it's just not a moral thing to do. But interestingly, as an insurance company, you can look at that differently. Is that what you just said? It sounded like you said that.
We can, you know, your insurance company will insure you differently because you're a male or a female, whereas there are no other industries where you can be treated differently like that. You're allowed to look at those kinds of habits. I mean, obviously, you know, you're not allowed to just, you know, blanketly deny insurance or services or any kind of product based on, you know, race or gender, but we can certainly look at those things and add them into all of our predictors and then be able to kind of decide what our entire risk is going to be as a company and go from there. But yeah, you're right. You always have to, you know, provide at least the same opportunities for everybody. But for predictors, yeah, you know, all these play in. We do have to comply with fair housing laws in ways where we don't want to deny housing to someone who would otherwise get it. But the kind of the cool part about lease lock that keeps us above that level is these people who are coming to us are already being denied. And so we can only bring them above that level. So they're either going to be where they were when they came to lease lock and be denied housing unless they are able to come up with money, you know, a lot of money for an extra security deposit, whereas the lease lock fee is going to be way lower than that. Or they're going to have to find a cosigner. But, you know, lease lock kind of, we always say we take B renters and turn them into A renters for the landlord.
Interesting. Okay, so talk to us about how much this insurance is going to cost. I'm aware of the prices, but why don't you go ahead and explain how it works?
Yeah, so our base rate for the insurance is 7% of the full lease value. So let's take, to keep it simple, let's take a $1,000 a month lease that is 10 months long. That's going to be a $10,000 lease value. So 7% of that $10,000 is going to be $700. So that's what the renter is going to have to pay up front in order to have us issue an insurance certificate to their landlord saying that we will indemnify for all lost rent. The renter only has to pay half of that up front. So they would pay $350 up front. With that $350 payment, we'll go ahead and issue the insurance certificate to the landlord that says, hey, landlord, if you miss out on any rent payments throughout this lease, we're going to indemnify you. If the renter skips, we're going to pay the rent while the apartment is empty for the whole time until you re-rent it or until the lease is over, whichever comes first. And then we're going to ACH the rest of the five payments from the renter's bank account or their credit card. Over a five-month period. So for that renter, it would be $70 a month in the scenario for 5 months.
You gave an example of a 10-month lease, and I know you're probably used to that because you deal with a lot of student housing. And most student housing, though, frankly, nowadays is just year-round leases anyway. But the point here is it's the amount of the lease. So if the value of that lease is $10,000, so it's $800 and $880 per month or whatever it is, right? So it's a $10,000 lease, and say it's a 12-month lease. It's going to cost the tenant $700 to get the insurance for that lease period, and they're going to pay $350 up front, and then they're going to make five payments of $70 out of the first 5 months of that lease, right?
Correct. And what we're competing with is the landlord saying, well, we want you to put down an extra security deposit of 1 month's rent, you know, when something goes wrong. And so
in that case, it'd be another $880 more down.
It would. And we find that most of our renters who are coming to the lease lock program, they don't care. They care so much less about putting the money down and getting it back in a year than they do about, hey, what is the cheapest, absolute lowest move-in cost that I can get right now to get in this apartment, taking the least amount of money out of my bank account? And that's what we appeal to. We appeal to the renter going, hey, you know, and the landlords love it too, because the landlords say, yeah, lease lock, keep it cheap for them, because I'd rather you push them to buy the insurance, because then I'm indemnified for the whole lease rather than just like 1 month of rent that I'm holding. What's that going to do for me if I have to do an eviction? You know, lease lock's going to pay your rent while you're going through an eviction and they're not paying you. We're going to cover all that. And we even cover eviction fees with lawyers and courts. So, you know, it's just insurance is the better option. It makes more sense than the antiquated way of collecting security deposits and looking for co-signers that you're probably never going to find. And even if you do, they're not going to pay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, interesting. Is there anything else you want people to know? Do you have any other products or services or any other permutations of this we should know about? I know you've got to wrap it up.
No, that's about it. You know, we're keeping it simple for now. You know, we run out of our own captive insurance company, and we realize that, you know, later down the road we can we can branch out and maybe do renters insurance and other kinds of programs. But right now we're really focusing on this one market. Or this one industry of you know, rent default protection. And we want to become the best in the world at predicting when someone's going to default on rent. And that's what our whole company is about.
Do you have a competitor?
We do. We have competitors. We don't have any competitors who are a nationwide insurance program. There are some competitors that are working with surety bonds. We have competitors that are working only in kind of limited regional markets. But they haven't kind of spanned the gamut as we have. You know, we have under our portfolio the largest property management company in the country, and then several under those. You know, we pride ourselves as being the trusted name and the trusted company in the industry. So we watch our competitors, and we always strive to do way better. So,
mm-hmm. And how long has LeaseLock been around?
So I wrote LeaseLock on a napkin in 2010. And,
awesome.
In 2011, I put up a website just on my own that said, I'm a stranger. I will co-sign on your lease for you if you show me these certain things like your credit report and whatever.
Oh, and, interesting. Yeah.
And I ended up, a lot of people wrote me. I dealt with a lot of people. I ended up doing about a dozen of these, and I made $30,000 in about 45 days. And then I said, and then after 12 months, none of the people that I picked defaulted, and I had co-signed on all their leases. And then I said, okay, this is a business. And so I took it to an incubator in Silicon Beach called Mucker Capital. And they kind of got me set up with my first investors and a co-founder, and got it going. So.
Awesome. Hey, I got to ask you one more question. Are there any parameters as to, you know, like, will you not rent to the very bottom of the market or the very high end market? You know, this is not an area in which most of my listeners are in, but I just want to get the question out there before you go. You know, if someone has a $300 a month unit that they want to rent and get this insurance on, can their tenant get that for lease lock?
Yeah. Yeah. We will do that. It's where our parameters really are is about renter risk. We do have a hard stop below a credit score of 490. We don't go there. And we just can't help everybody. As far as high as we've gone really high because it's based on the lease value. So the lease lock fee on that lease value is going to be a lot higher.
So if the rent is $15,000 a month, $180,000 a year, you'll insure that lease too, but that'll be pretty expensive insurance.
It will. We'll do it. But if you can buy the lease lock, we'll insure it.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And if it's a $300 a month place, you'll do that too, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Hey, I know you've got to run. The website is leaselock.com. Anything else you want to say?
No, I just want to thank you for having me on the show and letting me talk about this company, which I'm super proud of.
Yeah, my pleasure. We love to bring new and interesting and innovative ideas to our listeners, and this is one of them. So thanks for joining us.
All right. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for listening. Please be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss any episodes. Be sure to check out the show's specific website and our general website, HartmanMedia.com, for appropriate disclaimers and terms of service. Remember that guests' opinions are their own. And if you require specific legal or tax advice or advice in any other specialized area, please consult an appropriate professional. And we also very much appreciate you reviewing the show. Please go to iTunes or Stitcher Radio or whatever platform you're using and write a review for the show. We would very much appreciate that. And be sure to make it official and subscribe so you do not miss any episodes. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode.